The other day, we kind of looked through the prayer cycle guide. It kind of steps you through a process. Now, this is not revealed truth or anything. This is just a suggestion to give you some idea how to go about actually putting this in gear in your life. You may find a better way, and that's fine. I hope you do it. If you do, please let me know. I'd love to hear about it. Okay? It's not this the only way to do it, but it hopefully will at least help to give you a start. Now, on the other side, it says guide to key elements. Okay, and some things that you should be writing down, and you're going to write down that start date. Now, notice it says crisis here, and then it says situation. Okay, now it's more or less going to be one of those two is the idea there. That's why they look almost identical as far as the details. So you kind of decide: is this a crisis? It may be. I mean, it's like this is an emergency prayer. Okay, this is. I mean. Something's got to give here, okay? And we need some help. Or it may just be a situation. It's not exactly... Well, if you look at the second part, remember, for each one, you got description, and then below that, under crisis, you got apparent what?
Urgent
need. But under situation, you got apparent what?
Continuing
need. There's some things that are just ongoing, okay? And then there's some things that are, it's a one-time big deal, okay? And we're pretty much talking about big deals here, okay? Although this will influence how you pray about the little deals too, okay? But when you really take on a prayer project, we're not talking about every little detail of life. And that's not to say that you shouldn't pray about every detail of life. But what we're talking about is these things that are really worth it. They are projects, okay? These could be, a lost loved one, someone you're witnessing to, something that you're struggling with in your life, a major decision that your church is making. It might be your faith promise. Okay? Could be any number of things. Okay? But they're significant things that really require a concentrated effort of prayer, and usually over a period of time. Okay? So anyway, but it might be urgent or it might be sort of an ongoing thing. And both certainly deserve this kind of prayer. Okay. And then these different things that you'll make note of as far as how, and the word is development there. And this, remember, it's a process. And this is going to develop. It's not just, find the answer, pray the answer, get the answer. Okay? It's a little more involved than that. It's like find answer A, pray for answer A, get answer A, move to step B. You know what I mean? Okay? That's why we say it's a process instead of a great flying leap. Sort of thing. Okay. So as this whole thing is developing, as you're discovering the will and the purpose of God in this situation more and more clearly and more detail, you'll note some of these kinds of things. And you should note the date for these. Now, what's the purpose of keeping a journal? How many have ever at least thought about doing a spiritual journal of some sort, or any kind of journal? Okay. Quite a few. Okay, you've at least thought about it. Okay. Why would you even think about doing a thing like that? Oh, very good. Yeah, those are the Ebenezers. Those remembrance, it's amazing when you go back. One of the most human characteristics, and it becomes more characteristic as you get older, is that you what?
Forget.
I know it's amazing, the ones that responded more quickly on that. But we tend to forget. And this has been going on for a long time. What happened in the wilderness journey? And they weren't all old either, they'd forget. They couldn't remember something from one day to the next. God had just helped them out. And, the next day it's like it never happened, And we're like that. Even saved people, even regenerated people, even Holy Spirit indwelt people, we tend to forget. It fades. And we need those reminders. And as you do this, it will help you kind of restore those markers, and it will help to kind of grease the wheels of this process. You look back and see, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah, oh, I didn't even notice, but God did answer that. And I missed it, Break that down, okay? You see what I'm saying? So we tend to miss things, we tend to forget things, and by actually keeping some sort of journal of this project, it will help you to remember. There's another reason for journaling in something like this, or journaling anything, and that is it's a kind of a personal accountability. It helps you discipline yourself to do something that's not that easy. Okay? Is it not easy to sort of let things sort of, you know, I'll get to that later, you know, I'll do that. But when you keep that journal, it just sort of helps you, it keeps it before it. And put that journal someplace where you kind of have to stare it in the face every now and then, okay? Now, for some of you, it's going to be a notebook. Some of you might want to use a card file or a manila folder or a set of manila folders. I mean, this can get pretty big, okay? Some of you want to use, you might use your palm or your literal palm, if you like to write there, or your electronic palm or your laptop or whatever, you know. And you can set this up any way it works for you. That's going to vary a lot from one. But do something where you have a record and you can go back and review this and see what God is doing. See what God is teaching you. Be reminded of how God has been working in this situation, and it will begin to build, okay? You'll begin to see some things happen. Okay, so some of the things you can note are biblical insights, possible purposes. Now, I want to explain these real quick. What do I mean by possible purpose? That is, what might God be trying to do in this situation or in this crisis? Is he trying to do anything? Well, I can actually tell you the answer without knowing what the thing is. That's right. The answer is yes. Okay? He works all things together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose, okay? And then it goes on to say what that purpose is. By the way, here's one. Somebody said, what about grandma's big toe? I'm supposed to pray for grandma's big toe. What purpose could grandma's big toe have in the grand scheme of God's purpose in the universe? Is this a little far-fetched? Is this a little trivial? Well, maybe. But first question is grandma a believer? You tell me. Is she? I don't know. Just tell me what you think. No. Okay. Yes. There we go. Got that squared away. Okay. Scholarship. Excellent. Okay. Scholarship is divided. Okay. Let's try yes for one. Grandma is a believer. She's a godly, godly woman. And she's having a little trouble with circulation. She might have to have that toe amputated. So you're praying for grandma's toe. What do you pray? Well, I'm not sure yet. Pray that it'll be amputated cleanly. Pray that it won't have to be amputated. Pray that it won't have to be amputated until after Christmas. I don't know. How would you know what God wants to do? Okay, so let's back up a little bit and ask ourselves, what purpose might God have in grandma's poor circulation in her toe? Well, let's back up just a little bit more. What purpose do you know God has in grandma's circulation problem in her big toe? Growing grandma. In what way?
Possibly bring her
to
prayer.
Bring her to prayer? What is... we just quoted Romans 8:28. He works all things. We know. Okay, this is determined. Okay, there's no question about it. He does work all things together for good. You know, unfortunately, we stop at the end of verse 28. And don't bother to read verse 29. I never figured out why that is. It wasn't until just not very many years ago that it was like, and I'm not the only one who's seen this. Since then, I've seen other people, you know, who've talked about this. But it was like, I was reading, it's like, how did I miss this? What was I thinking? You know, I must have been out to lunch. It says what the purpose is. And that is to conform us to the image of his Son. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that no matter what comes into the life of a believer, at least part of the purpose of that is always without exception, to be used somehow in connection with something to make that person, that believer, more like exactly. Okay? So now we got something we can lock in on, and we could start asking ourselves, well, how could that maybe happen? What aspect of the character of Christ could somehow be transferred through Grandma's big toe? Okay? Now, I am trying to be a little bit cute, but it's a serious question. It sounds funny, but it really is serious. Actually, Grandma's big toe could be a very serious problem. Gangrene sets in. It could be the end of Grandma's witness on this planet. Okay, so could be a serious issue. Okay, and then you start thinking about possible answers. You're not sure yet, but here let's brainstorm a little bit and think, well, what might it be? Okay, it's kind of primes the pump a little bit. So I think, you know, and you don't have to, you know, go ahead and write some of these things down. Some of you might say, that's the stupidest thing I ever thought of. But don't worry about that. Start thinking and then ask, you know, and sometimes when you just think about some of those things that at first glance seem kind of weird, you might say, well, you know, there's a little bit of truth in that as I think about the scriptures and think about how God works and what's going on here in the real world. Okay? So possible answers. Root causes. This would be where you've got some sort of a problem. I don't want to spend too much time on Grandma's big toe, someone said Grandma. You say Grandma's not safe.
No, I said not safe.
Not safe. What might be God's purpose in Grandma's big toe if she's not safe? Well, that's right. It might be just what it takes to wake Grandma up. Or it might be that he's using it to wake her family up. It might be something to create a sense of urgency. You know, if Grandma, you know, this thing is getting worse, whatever's causing the big toe problem, and, you know, maybe we need to sit down and have a real, you know, stop just eating her pie and have a serious talk with Grandma. You know, I don't know. I'm not telling you how it's going to come out. I'm just telling you these are some, you know, possibilities. Okay. So anyway, root cause. We're on Grandma's big toe, so let's stay there for a while. You know, Grandma's got a problem with her big toe. What's the root cause? Yeah. She smokes. Huh. Okay. So the reason she has a problem with big toe is because she smokes, which affects her blood pressure and circulation and constricts the blood vessels and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so, you know, so the thing to really pray about is not so much Grandma's big toe as what? Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is smoking really the root cause? Now, how many of you ever done root cause analysis? Okay, in this, okay? And the next, it's just, actually, all you parents have done it, or your kids have done it to you. The first question is, starts with a W. Not usually. What was that last one?
Why?
Your kids ever ask you why? Parents?
No,
never ask. Wouldn't even dream of, right? If they don't, you got a real problem. Okay. Okay? So, of course, they ask why. And then you give them an answer, right? What's the next question? Why? Okay, so now we got to think a little harder. Okay, and you get through that. And what's the next question?
Why?
Why? Where does it stop, man? It stops in the Garden of Eden. That's where it stops. Okay, so so that's root cause analysis. You keep saying, well, okay, so this, but why is that there? Well, that's because there's this chain, okay? So where does the chain go back to? At least where something can be done about it. That's root cause analysis. And so don't just look at the superficial problem. Start asking yourself and the Lord, how did it get like this? Okay? What's really underneath this thing? Whatever it might be. Okay? With me? Does that make sense? Okay. Circle of influence. Okay, what? Well, that's a circle of influence. You ever seen that? Oh, I really miss blackboards. I love blackboards. I can't think without chalk. A circle of influence. Well, take a guess. Anybody want to take a stab at what a circle of influence would be? Well, yeah, it kind of getting a general idea. Yeah, things that influence you or the situation, yeah? Very good. A circle of influence, that would be true. Okay, yeah, back here. Okay, all right. A circle of influence is a little bit different from a chain. That's kind of like root cause, which helps establish sort of a chain of events. But a circle of influence actually encompasses a whole range of different things that might influence the outcome. And it might be cause or it might be solution. Okay? That is, there's people who, or events, or other factors that might have some impact on the outcome. Let's take Grandma's big toe. Grandma's got a problem with her big toe. Who might be involved in a circle of influence? Now, let's just do people for right now. Who would be some people who might be influencers in the outcome of this situation or influencers in the how we got to this situation with Grandma's big toe? Who would be real close to the center of it, probably? Grandma. Yeah, Grandpa. Okay. All right. Could be Grandma. Yeah. Okay, when he dropped the hammer on her toe. Okay. All right. So, who else? Doctors, okay, medical personnel could be involved here. Somebody else said something else? Children, yeah. Children could be part of the circle of influence. Grandma might need a little motivation, and nobody motivates grandma like grandchildren. Okay, so, you know, this. You see what I'm getting at. There's people who can have some influence here, okay? If you're praying for an unsaved person, there can often be a whole range of different people who have some influence. If you're praying about whether God wants you on a mission field or whatever, there's a whole range of people who should be involved in that process. It shouldn't just be that you go off into a mountain someplace and wait for lightning to strike, okay? You should get who involved? Well, that would certainly be good, okay? Anybody else? Your pastor would be an excellent choice, yeah. If he's not an excellent choice, maybe you should look for another church, okay? So, okay, I mean, it's kind of like, duh. All right, that's what he's there for. Okay, anybody else? Parents could be, who knows you better than your parents, okay? Now, sometimes parents will try to influence you, not necessarily in the right direction, but it's a funny thing. It's always worth listening to what they have to say, okay?
These influences could be negative also.
Yes, yes. Many of them can be both. Yeah, or in the influences may need to be influenced. See what I'm getting at? So we're starting to develop this picture. It's not just an isolated thing that sits out here in the middle of the universe with no connection to the rest of the universe. It's everything we pray about is somehow connected to a whole range of other things. And as we pray, we start to begin to see the bigger picture of might be involved. Okay? And as that happens, you begin to see how God might work in ways that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise. Okay. Who else? Yes, mature, trusted Christian friends. Okay, they can be part of the circle of influence. Okay, so, you know, we could spend a lot of time here, but you got the idea now? You're pretty comfortable with that. Okay, related needs. Now, it's a little bit like circle of influence, but there might be, in order for this need to be met, there might be some other needs that need to be met. Okay? If, I don't know, we could, where would you go? Let's say, for instance, let's assume we're going to leave Grandma's big toe for okay? But there obviously could be related needs. We could do the whole thing on Grandma's big toe. But let's move on. Let's say that you have prayed and so forth, and it's really become very clear, let's say, that God wants you to go on the next short-term ministry team from Heritage, okay? That's fine. Might there be some related needs besides just finding out that you're supposed to go? Mm-hmm. What might?
Work. If you work, you have to take time off.
Getting time off of work. Anything else? Financial. Yeah. How am I going to pay for this? Yeah. Money. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Children getting off of school. Okay, you see, you get the idea, okay? So you start praying in a sense larger and larger circles. So you start relating to these different things. A lot of this stuff we do instinctively, but if you do it a little more intentionally, and something about having something like this helps you to pick up on things that you might have just kind of zipped over. Okay, see what I mean? Okay. This isn't special revelation here, okay? It's just, but it just helps. And you might add other things to this list. Hope you do. Okay, partial answers is another thing to record. Remember, this is a process. And so you don't necessarily get the whole answer all at once. You get partial answers, and those can lead you to the next step. And actually, partial answers become... This is a very important concept to get a hold of. We talked about God's determined will. A lot of people miss this little deal. Have you ever found yourself trying to start from yesterday? If only I hadn't, or if only I had. And so we sit there spinning our wheels, thinking how things would have been better if we had not done what we did, or if what happened hadn't happened, or if something else had happened, or... You're with me on that? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, guess what? All you're doing is spinning your wheel. You will get nowhere like that. You can only start from where? Here and now. You cannot start from yesterday. You cannot start from somewhere else. You must start from here, and you must start from now. And what I'm getting at here is that once something has happened... There is a sense in which that is the determined will of God. It has now become, whether it was what God would have most liked to have happened is irrelevant. The fact is that it happened. And did it take God by surprise? Did it throw his whole plan completely out of whack? Unfortunately, there's some... You know, a lot of things that have elements of truth can be taken too far. And sometimes there is a tendency, especially when talking about the will of God, for people to kind of give the impression or to come to the conclusion that if I miss some little, you know, this thing is so tightly woven. This machine is so complex and so highly refined. When we talk about God's sovereignty over the universe and working all these things together after the counsel of his own will, that if I somehow mess up some teeny tiny little thing, the whole thing comes crashing in a heap, and my life is over. And I might as well just give up, because I blew it, I've ruined it, there is no hope for me, or whatever. Do you ever feel that way? Okay. Is that biblical? Now, there is such a thing as pushing it too far. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you won't find very many cases of that in the Bible. Even as we look at Israel, who pushed it too far, God still didn't give up. And they still did not wreck his plan. And even though these rulers and the people of Israel and the Gentiles and all that they were praying about before, they had gone too far. Okay? Yet they still ended up doing what God had planned all along. Now that's the sovereignty of God. Okay? So because we have such an incredible God, if you're still here, you can start from here and now. But you must start with the understanding that what has happened is a given. You cannot restart at, you know, a lot of people say, here's a common misconception. Justification is just as if I had never sinned. Not true. It will never be just as if you had never sinned. That's not what justification means. It sounds good, but it's not, it's just not true. Was David forgiven of his sin? Was it just as if he had never done it? No. David's life would never be the same again. The kingdom would never be the same again. The world would never be the same again. But David was forgiven, and he was justified. What does justification mean? It means that we are declared righteous, even though we're not. That's what it means. And what that means is that you can start now. You cannot change the past. You have to go on the basis of reality as it is. And that's part of God's providence. Okay? We could spend a lot of time there, but that's just a, and that might be one for you to chew on more. But it's an important thing to get a hold of. You're not going to change the past no matter how hard you pray. That is now part of God's determined will. It's done. Okay, don't waste your prayer life trying to change the past. It won't happen. Okay? So, move on. Where do we go from here? Given what has happened, where do we go from here based on the Word of God? Okay. But partial answers, that's kind of a negative thing, but also positive that God has answered his prayer. Now, you know, that's moving us forward in a direction. Okay. And then the prayer cycle, that what I'm talking about is that you kind of record where you are in this prayer cycle, how many times you've been through it, perhaps, and that sort of thing. And then if there is one, a final answer. Okay, when you finally, you know, get there and this is sort of done, okay? All right. So, and you may never get one of those, okay? You might just keep right on going, okay? But you kind of, does that make some sense? Now, so how you organize this and set it up, you know, that's something you'll kind of have to work out what works best for you, because it varies a lot from one person to another.